Hallowed be your name. The word hallow means to make or consider something holy. Far from a celebration of ghosts and goblins on a ghoulish holiday called Halloween, Hallowed be your name elevates our praying to our praiseworthy Heavenly Father. We praise or hallow God's name because it reflects His good reputation. A study of the many names by which God reveals Himself in the Bible is worthwhile and transformative because by them we get to know God's divine character, nature, and eternal purpose. The Father gave His Son, Jesus, the name that is above every name. When Jesus drops His name, every knee will bow in His presence and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
What can a bicycle teach us about prayer? Find out next on today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Hi, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, today, Ron begins a deep dive into the most famous prayer in all the Bible. As you follow along, pay close attention to how Ron describes the purpose of the Lord's Prayer. It's a fascinating metaphor, one that just might take you back to your own childhood. Stay with us now as Ron moves ahead in his teaching series, The Jesus Way to Pray, or stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. From Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, The Jesus Way to Pray with Praise. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Ron Jones' message, The Jesus Way to Pray with Praise.
When Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, will you teach us to pray? He gave them a pattern for prayer that when translated into the English language is only 66 words. It could have been easily lost over the last 2,000 years, but they haven't been. By comparison, that's fewer words than the Ten Commandments, for instance. Ten Commandments has 297 words. It's fewer words than the Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution, 463 words. It's fewer words than Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, which if I have it right, it's 266 words. I recently heard about a piece of legislation in Congress that was written to regulate the price of cabbage. Do you know how many words it took to regulate the price of cabbage? I'm going to tell you, 26,911 words. I doubt a generation from now anybody is going to be going back to that piece of legislation. I don't even know if it changed any lives. But here we are 2,000 years later from the time that Jesus' disciples said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And we're still poring over these 66 words in our English translation. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer that is known worldwide in every generation. I call it the Jesus way to pray, but it's commonly and traditionally known as the Lord's Prayer. And I think it is worth reciting, memorizing, if you have done that, certainly reading this beautiful prayer in the beautiful language of the King James translation of the Bible. Let's do that together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you and I were to try, at least to attempt, to improve on this prayer, we would fail. But I do appreciate the efforts of Eugene Peterson, who wrote a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. He refreshes our ears just a little bit. He renders it this way. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes. One yes wasn't enough. I like the 3 yeses there. But I think I'll stick with maybe the King James translation. Stick with the original one. When I was a little boy, I learned to ride a bicycle like most little boys do, starting with training wheels. I remember the first bicycle my parents bought me was a Schwinn Pixie. The color they described was called flamboyant red. And it had chrome, you know, fender guards. It had 16-inch, you know, white wall tires on it. It was the beginner's bike of every boy's choice. Actually, I wanted the Schwinn Stingray Pixie. That was the one with, you know, fancier handlebars and larger wheels, and it had a banana seat. Do you remember the banana seats? I mean, every cool kid in the neighborhood had a bike with a banana seat. My parents could have cared less. I got the one without the banana seat because they were most concerned about the training wheels. That's how you learn to ride a bike, right? You put training wheels on the bike, and the training wheels stabilize the bike until you learn how to balance yourself on 2 wheels without falling over. Well, that's sort of like the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is spiritual training wheels designed to teach us to balance our conversations with God and to ride into His presence without, you know, stumbling and stammering over our words. However, this prayer is a model for us to follow. It's not a mantra for us to chant like they do in Hinduism and Eastern mysticism and all of that. The goal is that one day the prayer becomes so natural to us that we don't need the training device anymore. We can ride freely, you know, balancing ourselves on 2 wheels, as it were, riding into the presence of God. I want to talk to parents for just a moment and grandparents. You need to teach your kids how to pray. And not by using some prayer that sounds like a nursery rhyme. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Whose bright idea was it to fill a child's brain with the ghoulish idea of death as they laid their head on a pillow? But that's how I learned to pray. The now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. No, we need to teach our children and grandchildren the Jesus way to pray. Teach them until they can recite it on their own. It's a wonderful moment for, you know, parents and their kids. And one day they won't need the training device. Prayer will be natural for them. But we got to learn to pray the Jesus way. The Lord's Prayer is both relational and it's deeply theological at the same time. From it, we learn about God, we learn about ourselves, we learn about the faith community we are a part of. Moving from one line in the text to the next is, well, it's sort of like skipping from one Colorado 14er to the next. One mountain peak is full of praise while another asks for daily provisions. Another peak helps us align our priorities with God's, and then well, the one over yonder seeks His protection. And in the magnificent prayer, we learn to enjoy a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father without losing reverence for His name. Oh, the balancing act there. And did you notice how the prayer begins with an emphasis on God? Not your needs, but an emphasis on Him. In the first 3 stanzas, it's Thy name, Thy kingdom, and Thy will. And then afterwards, give us, forgive us, and deliver us. Okay? So God comes first. But how often do we, and I'll include myself in this, I'm guilty of it, I'm so quick to rush into God's presence with my laundry list of things I need today without pausing to hallow His name, to think about His kingdom and His will and His name. The prayer comes full circle with a final emphasis on God's kingdom and power and glory. We might say that God owns the kingdom. He possesses all the power. He receives all of the glory. And we as dependent creatures. Remember, prayer is our declaration of dependence upon God. We as dependent creatures have all the needs, right? But they come after we properly enter into his presence. And Jesus is so sure that all the kingdom and the power and the glory belongs to our Heavenly Father forever that he ends the prayer, amen. So let it be. Yes. It's without discussion, without debate. As Peterson says, yes, yes, yes. I love that. It's a simple prayer. 66 words in the English language. Last week, we looked at the prelude to prayer, which teaches us how not to pray. But today, as we begin our journey through the Lord's Prayer, phrase by phrase, and we'll just kind of, you know, go at this slowly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, introduces us to the person of prayer, the place of prayer, and then eventually the praise of prayer. Let's begin with our Father, the person of prayer. To whom are we talking to? Well, the Lord's Prayer reflects, I believe, God's deep desire for relationship. He invites us to have a conversation with him, but it also reflects our need for community. Jesus begins the teaching moment with our Father, not dear Father, like you're writing some letter to him, not my Father. In fact, of all the personal pronouns in the prayer, they're all plural. You won't find I, me, my, or mine in the prayer, which suggests that when praying, we have to lay aside our rugged individualism because we are part of something larger than ourselves. It's our Father. He has a big, big house and a big, big family, and we are part of the family of God. And the first word, the first pronoun, that plural pronoun, suggests all of that. Jesus invites us to address God as Father. Father. That was shocking 2,000 years ago. A pious Jew would never address God as Father. You won't find that in the Old Testament in a prayer. For centuries, the Jews were not permitted to even say the name of God aloud out of respect for his name, let alone write it down. And so surprisingly, Jesus did not instruct his disciples to use lofty titles like Lord or Almighty or King or Most High. There's nothing wrong with addressing him that way, but be as surprised as the disciples were 2,000 years ago that he invites us to call him Father. And together, our Father reminds us that we enjoy a relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ while in community with others in the family of God. And even though we might pray this prayer in our personal devotions, we should never forget that Christianity is not, it's not a solo journey. When we pray, even privately, we always do so with the larger community of faith and the local church we are involved in. Amen. With our time and our talent and our treasure. Not just dancing around the periphery of some faith community. We are absorbed in that faith community. It's our Father in heaven.
If you're new to the Something Good Radio program, we want to make sure you know that we archive all of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, use the Partner tab at the top of the homepage and check out the 828 Club, a special group of people who partner with Ron to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the media ministry of Something Good. Join the 828 Club from our website or give us a call at 757-276-1099. That's 757-276-1099. Like training wheels on a bicycle, the Lord's Prayer teaches us to balance our conversations with God. And a great way to start those conversations is by calling Him Father. It's not a demand, it's an invitation. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, the Jesus way to pray with praise.
Father is a relational term, as I've already implied. This suggests we are his children and members of his forever family. Now, some people would say, you know, we're all children of God. And in a general sense, yes, we're all created in his image. Even the prophet Malachi asked the rhetorical question, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Yes, he has. You may have even sang in Sunday school, this is my Father's world. But as we get further along in the scriptures, the Bible teaches that God is a heavenly Father specifically to those who have placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to those he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And the Apostle Paul carries this idea even further in his letter to the Romans, where he suggests that it's only believers in Jesus Christ who have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba being a very personal term, it means daddy. Because you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you can call him Father. You can call him Daddy. By the way, are you a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an important question for you to kind of wrestle with now. Because as I understand the scriptures, that's what opens up the communication lines. That's what gives us even access to our Heavenly Father. Now, admittedly, calling God Father is difficult for some people. Because maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your earthly father and you're downloading all of that experience into this experience. Or maybe you don't know your father. Increasingly, we're living in fatherless America. The number of children being born today where daddy is nowhere to be found is truly, truly a crisis. And will hinder some from even praying this prayer. The first two words, no, I can't do that. Got too many negative emotions there. Our Father. John Miller addresses this sad reality for some in his book, Calling God Father. He says, for people of faith, the ultimate reality of Father, in whose likeness humans are created and toward which they are ordained, is the reality of God, the pattern of all parenthood. Absent knowledge of that reality, he says, we inevitably become short-sighted, losing our ability to discern any referent that could tell us, among other things, what fathers are and what good fathers look like. We don't know what good fathers look like today because we're in fatherless America in so many ways. But we need only look at God, our Heavenly Father, for the perfect picture of parenthood. Miller goes on to say, for children whose fathers are all too frail and broken, there can still be the knowledge of a personal father whose love is constant and unfailing, a father who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, great in goodness and faithfulness, a father to look up to. And I would add, a father to the fatherless, according to Psalm chapter 68. This portion of the prayer, Our Father, also implies we have access, unique access to our Heavenly Father because we are children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and 16 has this in mind when it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This idea that we have access to our Heavenly Father as his children reminds me of a now famous photograph that was snapped by Stanley Treadick. He was a photojournalist and a White House photographer, and he snapped a photo of John Kennedy Jr. when he was just a little boy, and he walked into the Oval Office and got under his daddy's desk, the famous Resolute desk. Apparently it has a little door there, and he stuck his face out, and the photo was taken. The leader of the free world was sitting at the desk. How would such a little boy get that close to the leader of the free world? Well, you know the answer. That's his father. And both John Kennedy Jr. and his sister Caroline Kennedy enjoyed unique and special access to the President of the United States in the hallowed Oval Office precisely because they're his children. You don't see my face sticking out from under that desk, and you never will, right? Well, you understand the analogy. Timothy Keller picks up on this idea, and he observes, the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 o'clock in the morning for a glass of water is the king's child, right? He says, through prayer, believers in Jesus have that kind of access, day or night, to their Heavenly Father. Now, one more thought about all this before we move on to the next phrase. Intentionally, God reveals Himself in Scripture as a Heavenly Father through the male gender. It is inappropriate to pray to our Heavenly Mother. Amen. Why? Well, first of all, because God determines how we address Him.
Yes, He does.
Okay?
Yes.
That's not for us to determine. We don't pray to, hey, Jesus, our hanging dude. I hear that from time to time. A little too casual, all right? He invited us to pray to our Father. And I think there's good theological reasons for this and biological reasons. Biologically, the male anatomy initiates sexual union and the female anatomy receives it. Theologically, there's a parallel. Grace is God's male initiation. And faith is our female response, okay? So when you start messing with the genders in the Bible just to be inclusive, you're messing with salvation as it was meant to be communicated in the Bible, and you're messing with how God intended for us to address Him. None of this means that God possesses biological features as humans do. Now, the Bible is clear in John chapter 4, God is spirit, okay? He is spirit. But He alone determines how we address Him. A Hungarian Jewish historian named Raphael Patai said rather forcefully and plainly, the God of Judaism is undoubtedly a father symbol and a father image. I would add, so is Christianity. Don't mess with that.
When Jesus taught us to pray, when He gave us that bicycle with training wheels, He didn't teach us to start out by saying, "Oh, Master of the Universe," or "Oh, Great Being of Light." He told us to begin with the words, "Our Father." God longs to have a relationship with you, a deep, personal, father-child relationship. It's the most beautiful and the most important relationship you'll ever have. Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good Radio message with Dr. Ron Jones. And be sure to stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen to any of Ron's messages on demand. Use the radio tab that's right at the top of the homepage, somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, take a look at a discipleship coaching experience developed by Dr. Ron Jones called Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Look for Something Good courses right at the top of the homepage. When you partner with us here at Something Good, we'll send you a free copy of Ron Jones' full-length book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, Exploring Its Amazing Secrets. Now, to join the 828 Club today, look for the Partners tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org, or call 757-276-1099. If you can't become a partner but would like to make a donation to the ministry, Ron would love to send you his brand new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50 or a 4-pack for $75. That's The Jesus Way to Pray.
Yeah, when heaven's doors swing wide open and invite us to a time of prayer, we should walk through them with an abundance of humility. Understanding, yes, we're praying to our Father. I'm a child of God by faith in Christ. I can just bound into His presence, but, oh, I should never forget who I'm talking to.
That's next time when Ron shares part two of his message, The Jesus Way to Pray with Praise. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.